If you guys remember last week, I was kind of sick, and Rick came up and did the worship leading. For those of you who weren't here, I had a really bad head cold, and I had worked kind of hard the days previous helping Lucas roof his house, and it was just, I was very tired and very sick starting off last week. And so after church on Sunday, I just went home and slept, and I slept on Monday. And as the days went on, you know, as life began to enter my body again, and as my sickness descended, I began to work on cleaning up the house because, you know, when Chandra and the boys left, it was kind of in a hurry, and so we hadn't really cleaned the house a whole lot. Plus, I said, don't worry about it, I'll clean it up, and then I got sick. So as life began to enter me again, I started looking at, we had baskets of clothes laying around. You guys know how that goes. You go on a trip, and you do all this laundry, and we had baskets of clothes. We had crayons and books, had cars and toys and animals and shoes, and the kicker was that we had decided to clean out the fridge before she went. And so you know what happens when you clean out your fridge. You find all those nice, fuzzy, wonderful, good-intentioned foods that you were going to eat, and you never did. And so we had all those stacked on the counter, and we had dishes in sink, and I had a box to be returned that's taking up space on our table, and we had mail and bills and my dirty clothes, and there was a smell coming from the bathroom that one of the boys had left somewhere, and I had to find that too. And so every time I was going in there when I was sick, I was like, man, I got to take care of that, but I'll do it later because I'm just not feeling good right now. So these are all my list of chores to do as the week went on, and I knew I was having the youth over on Wednesday, and so by that time, I got this many days to get it cleaned up, and so I worked on it a little bit Monday night and Tuesday night and then Wednesday before the youth came over. And as I was cleaning, you know how it is when you clean off your kitchen table or you have a message center. Like for us, it's the top of our dishwasher because it rolls around and it's not the table, but it's there and it's not really the countertop. So we throw all of the things on, throw all of our bills and letters and mail and the boys' things on there. And as I was going through that and starting to straighten up, I started to uncover all of these little treasures from the boys. And Tyler's been going to the home group over there at Honey Creek New Providence every other Thursday or every Thursday, and that's his preschool time, and so he brings home crafts and different things, and I started to pull those out, and as I was noticing all of these things, the thought crossed my mind as to, as I was cleaning, what was more important than other things? Like, you know, you pick something up, do I throw it away, do I keep it? And I started having this conversation with myself 5 years ago. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, I may be crazy, but I was thinking, you know, 5 years ago, Nathan would have looked at this and he would have been throwing away all this stuff that present Nathan would have said, that's more important. Why are you throwing that away? And so I'm kind of having this this thought. What if 23-year-old Nathan was helping 28-year-old Nathan clean up my present home? Because my view of what holds more value has changed so much, I would probably be yelling at the old me, and I really was doing this. You know how you have a conversation with someone and they make you upset, and in your mind, you're yelling at them, or you're really having a heated argument. I'm having this heated argument because I remember that person very well, and I'm trying to, he's trying to throw stuff away, and I'm, what are you thinking? Those are important, and then the big thing was that he didn't understand why I was placing importance on certain things and why he couldn't just throw them away. So you guys can call me crazy, but that's what I was doing as I was cleaning. Maybe it was the sickness. Maybe I was still a little bit sick. But I was very frustrated with the old me, and I was thinking, what used to be my most valued possessions? Does anybody have an idea? Lucas doesn't get to play. Anybody think, like, back in high school and college and about 5 years ago, what do you think I would have valued? Well, the first one I had on the list was my car. Lucas is laughing. Kind of. My car in high school. I had this 91 Pontiac Sunbird with 3.1 V6 in it, and it was, that thing would just haul if you put the pedal down, and that was our car. And the car before that was a 80 something Dodge Shadow with Bondo and blown speakers, and my sister driven it, so it was a real step up. So I really cherished this car. And the other thing was my guitar. When I was about 23 years old, I bought that guitar, and I used to be very possessive about it. I didn't, only certain people could touch it, and I would always be cleaning it and washing it, and, well, not washing it, but waxing it, you know, buffing it, making sure there's no fingerprints on it, and I wanted people to want to play it, but I didn't want to let them play it because it was a valued possession. And the other thing I was thinking, Lucas probably remember this one, but I have this necklace that I wore today. And I haven't worn this necklace. I don't know if I've worn it since I've moved. But this was my class ring that my mom got for me. I didn't really want a ring. And I used to wear this every single day. I think I got it when I was a freshman or sophomore or something like that. And I don't think I took it off. Not even to shower, never. I didn't take it off for anything unless it broke. So every once in a while it would break and I wouldn't wear it, and then we'd get it fixed and then I'd wear it again. And I used to wear this thing all the time. And then the other thing were my pants. I had these pants that were unique. They were unlike any other pants that I had ever seen. And you know how, what pants were they? Yeah. You know when corduroy pants were kind of in for guys? Lucas and I, Mom liked us to wear corduroys. And they're kind of dressy or whatever. Well, one time I saw these corduroys. And you know how corduroys go up and down the legs? These corduroys went around the legs. Yeah. And I saw them and said, Mom, we got to get these corduroys. And so she said, no. I said, fine, it's going to be on my Christmas list, and it's your fault if you can't find them. And so I put them on my Christmas list, and she did. I think it was the last store she went to in Des Moines. She checked all the malls, and finally out in West Des Moines somewhere, she found these pants. And so they were kind of skater pants too. So you can imagine how cool I was. But I really loved these pants because I was the only one that had them. I really thought I was cool, and okay. So those were some of my most valued possessions. And as I'm cleaning up my house, I'm finding all these things that I value so much. And it wouldn't have made any sense to that old Nathan because those pants, those were pretty sweet. But one of the first things I saw was this. Now, this is from the Jer-Bear, a little parental supervised finger painting. Now, he's only 17 months, 16 months. He's not even a year and a half old, and he's never going to be this old again, so this means a lot to me. And the old Nathan probably would have crinkled this up and said, what, that's just somebody spilled some paint. Like, no. My little Jaron did that. Now, these two things are crafts that I think Tyler brought home from home group, and this is a bird feeder. It's a piece of bread, real stale now, and I put like honey on it or something, and they put bird seed on it. And we have a bird feeder behind our house, and he loves to watch the birds. Absolutely loves it. And he comes and gets us whenever there's a finch out there. And so we told him we would hang it out there, and then his special bird feeder would feed the birds. Now, the thought could cross your mind, you know, I could get rid of this and he'd probably never notice, but you know how much joy this will bring his heart when he gets to see that he is feeding the birds from his special bird feeder. And then I've got this little fish here that he didn't cut out, but he taped it together and they put paper in it and he colored it a little bit, and we're saving this, and we'll probably save it, put it in a box for his little things, because this is just the beginnings of his creativity. And he was so proud to bring this home and show us this fish that he had made that day. Old Nathan would have tossed that for sure. Now, I've got one from a couple gifts that Chandra had given me, and she always asks what I want. I said, well, I want you to make me something, and she doesn't like it when I say that because she, not that she doesn't like to make me things, but you know, it's honestly, sometimes it's just easier to go get a gift. So I say, I want you to make me something, but I don't just say make me something, but I want it to mean a lot to me. I'm setting the stage right there. Well, I think this was from one of my first Father's Days. Tyler was 16 months old, and you can see he's such a happy little guy. You know how he never used to smile. But right here, we've got this little clay, or I don't know what it is, but he's got his handprints in it. And you can see the lines in his hands, and you can just see how small they are. And man, what a precious little boy who's never going to be 16 months old again. And for years, Lucas and I had this, my dad had made one. My dad had made one when he was young, and it was a plaster on a plate, and you could see where it popped off the plate, and it had the edges. Well, it was his handprint, and Lucas and I had this in our room. I'm like, what in the world are we going to do with this thing? And so we stuck it in our toy dresser, and I don't know if we still have it or not, but Grandma probably would like it. But I never understood it until I had my own child, and now I see how precious that is and how good that looks to look at those tiny little hands when someday he's going to have big hands like mine. And the other thing is this picture that Chandra made me. This was, I think, our 1-year anniversary. And she went out and got the picture frame, and she printed out a picture of us, one of our favorite pictures. And then she got online and found the pictures of our rings. And then she wrote down the vows that we said to each other. And this sits in my office. And this is a gift that I was like, wow, you really went overboard with that. That's a good one. So these are now some of my most valued possessions. So you can see where 23-year-old Nathan probably wouldn't agree with me on the value of certain items. Honestly, what makes a gift valuable? That's the question. What's that, Ann? The love behind it. What's behind it? Isn't that what makes a gift meaningful to you? I think about all those valued possessions and what's behind them. I look at the guitar, and you know what? I used to protect it and polish it and idolize it, and now this is my fourth one, and a couple months ago, Jaron knocked it over forward on the face, off of the stand. Cracked it right where all the strings come out of the bridge plate. Does it affect it? Not a whole lot right now. But 5 years ago, I would have gone crazy and I would have made that child cry. I would have. Because that's how important that guitar was. I mean, now, it's just a piece of wood. I think about that card. And it was a 91 Pontiac Sunbird. I know it was sweet. It was, I don't know, almost 10 years old while we were driving it anyway. But one time at yearly meeting, I didn't like the way my sister took care of cars, and Lucas doesn't like the way that I took care of cars. So he's laughing when I say it was important to me. But she brings the car to yearly meeting, and she had gone to Burger King and gotten some of those little French toast sticks. You know what comes with those? A little packet of syrup, which she put over in the seat and was dipping her sticks in and knocked it over on the seat. And so, you know, of course, custom on or standard on a 91 Sunbird would be leather interior, so it wiped up easy. No, they were nice cloth seats, and it soaked in real good. And she didn't clean it up, and it sat out in the heat. And I don't know if that stain ever really came out of the seat or not. Lucas says no. But I remember yelling at her in the parking lot in front of the union down there, in front of everybody, because I was so livid at her. I was just so upset, and she kept saying, "It's just a car." I said, "It's not just a car, it's my car, and you just ruined it." And now, if you've ever been inside of my van, you would know that messy cars aren't that big a deal. Especially when you give them like a bottle of milk and they throw it all over the door. My necklace, you know, it still holds value to me, but it holds it in a different way than it did before. Before, I was wearing it because I wanted to show off what a great Christian I was. That's why I didn't want the class ring, because I wanted people to see that I was a Christian. But that was really why I wore it, because I thought that it made me a better Christian because it was a nice, expensive piece of jewelry. And now the meaning that it has for me has to do with who gave it to me and the sacrifice that she had to make to give it to me, because it was just going to be the cross. Because we looked at the cross and we looked at the chain, and they were both too expensive. And so Mom said, "Well, we'll just get you a cheap chain and we'll get you this nice cross." And then she surprises me and gets me the nice chain too. So it was really a very nice gift, but for the longest time it was just a statement, really. Didn't really have the meaning of the gift behind it. And then the pants, we're not going to talk about. We don't need to go on. Do we need to talk about those? I didn't think so. I know Dustin and Wes are back there like, "Where can we get a pair of those?" I gave them away. Sorry, guys. But now my most valued possessions come from my wife and my kids. And, you know, pretty much all of my most valued possessions were made because they have a lot of heart behind them. What makes them important is every crayon stroke and every letter that Tyler does, because he's learning to write his name. And every word. And in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, we learn about gifts. It says, "While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. 'I tell you the truth,' Jesus said, 'this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has.'" Now, for most of my life, I understood that the greatest gifts to be were those that were of the greatest monetary value, or gifts that came out of surplus. But Jesus teaches us that quantity has nothing to do with the gift. Because gifts are supposed to be about the heart, aren't they? Quantity has nothing to do with a gift anymore. Why do we give gifts? Hopefully it's because your heart desires it and it's not because of a duty. And I was thinking about this, and you know, this applies to all areas of our Christian life. Because isn't our life supposed to be a gift to God? Aren't we supposed to be, being a Christian is a lifestyle, isn't it? It's an everyday thing, an everyday offering to our Lord. When I think about tithing, what does your heart say when you give your offering to the church? What does your heart say? Because God has all the riches in the world. Do you think He cares how much money you're putting in there? A big offering? Those big offerings compared to that widow's two copper coins, do you think that God was pleased with those big offerings? He says no, because they gave out of their surplus. They didn't give out of their hearts like that woman did. I think about time. And I think just because, you know, so many times when I didn't have all the time, when I thought, you know, God deserves so much time, and I can only find 5 or 10 minutes today, I'm too embarrassed to give that to Him. But you know, 5 minutes of meaningful, sincere prayer is more powerful than 5 hours of showboating in your prayer and your walk with the Lord. And I think about helping others. If you aren't volunteering to help someone because you can't do it on your own or you can't do it perfectly, then you don't understand that's not the point at all. When people say it's the thought that counts, it's the truth. It's the heart that counts. And God knows that, and when we give to Him, He's looking not at what we're handing, but He's looking right past that and into our hearts. Saying, Nathan, what's in your heart when you give this offering today? Are you writing out that check begrudgingly, or I need this money this month, or here you go, Lord. You've given me so many things. This is the easy part. Before I understood the power of the heart, I didn't understand Luke 21. At least I didn't understand it for its full value. God desires us to give to Him the best that our hearts can offer. And don't let the thinking of the world hold you back from giving, because God knows your heart. And He knows whose gifts come from the heart. He knows what offerings are coming from our hearts and what aren't, what are shallow, what are coming out of surplus. So the question this morning is, what are we giving God? And from where are we giving it? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, You have given to us so much. And as we go this week and as we live for You, I pray that our hearts would be sincere and our hearts would be joyful as we give to You these gifts, as we live for You and give each day to You, Father God. May it be out of the joy of our hearts, out of the joy of Your resurrected Son who has given us life. And may we bless You with our gifts from the heart this week. Amen.